be truthful with you, George. It is totally risky to use humor. And so I get it and understand why people don't and won't, because it's just too much of the fear factor in there.
Welcome to Your Intended Message, the perfect place for leaders and promising professionals who want to convey the intended message for greater success. Every week, we interview experts who address the challenges and best practices to deliver your message effectively. That might be one-to-one, one-to-few, or one-to-many. And perhaps the most important conversation, one-to-self. I'm your host, George Torok.
My guest today is June Klein. Here's three facts that I think you should know about June. One, she is a certified speaking professional showing you how to craft an engagingly powerful speech. Two, she is an official coach for TEDx St. George, Utah, and known as the Talking Strategist. And three, for 18 years, June has been known as the Southern, sassy, and savvy Harley-riding humorous, and the bike is fictionally known as Good Golly Miss Molly. Time to cue Little Richard there. June, welcome to Your Intended Message.
I'm so excited to be here, George. Thank you for having me. I think I love Your Intended Message. I think so many people sometimes misspeak Your Intended Message.
True. And we probably see that every day. And yes, some of us notice it more than others. In your case, Your Intended Message, if I understand it right, is we need to laugh little more, even when we're serious. Is that a fair statement?
I think you're spot on, 100%. My question to executives and to entrepreneurs is it important for you to be funny? And the answer is only if you want to make more money.
And June, now I've talked to some executives and they say, well, you know, we're serious. This is serious business. This is trucking, or this is banking, or this is just serious business. We can't be laughing all the time and making jokes. What do you say to them?
You know what? I've heard that, and I've gotten major pushback through the many, many years that I've been teaching this. And I just know that's wrong. And especially if you can come up with what I call an IMO, which executives and everybody hates because it's an idiot moment. But don't we all have them? Haven't we all experienced locking our keys in the car? And as one client executive found out after he called the tow truck and everything, his window was down. All he had to do was reach in. So it's just fun stuff like that. And there are some execs and entrepreneurs that will not go there. They just don't want to drop that wall down and allow people in. But if you can tell, not a crazy idiot moment, but something that they all happen every day, all the time. So I encourage you to find that IMO, idiot moment, that will connect you with others.
And when you reveal your idiot moment to other people, how does the way they see you change?
Well, they laugh. And laughter changes your brain chemistry. So that's the power of it. You know, my thing is to go ape. I have people go ape. And that stands for awareness, permission, and fun. So you spell APE, an acronym, and awareness, permission, and fun. That's how I have opened 1,000 speeches. And it makes people go, their eyebrows arch, they look up, it's like, what? And it's like, see, that's the surprise. That's it right there. So when you can make somebody do a 180 with their thoughts and they laugh, that is endearing. They may even not like you and they still have to laugh. And that's some chemistry, brain chemistry, and emotion that attracts us. What is the number one thing people say when they're trying to set you up on a blind date? Not that either one of us would remember that from many days ago,
They might not look like much, but they got a great sense of humor. And it's funny. I'm reminded of an I moment when I started a new job. My boss took me out for lunch the first day, and he ordered steak. And I like steak, and I thought it was a strange thing for lunch, but I figured, oh, I'll have the same thing because it's supposed to build rapport, right? Right? He ordered, oh, I'll have the same. That was my introduction to steak tartare, which, and I like my steak cooked, you know, medium well. And this plate of raw ground beef there with an egg jiggling on top, and I looked at it,
did it moo at you? I mean, I like mine rare, but if it's mooing on the plate, that's just wrong.
I thought so too. Yes. And you know, I hid that moment for many years. And then I started to tell that story at times. And I remember one time when I told that story, another person stood up and told their lunchtime story. It was a different, you know, different circumstances, but their funny lunchtime story. So people look for, oh, that's like me. Something like that happened to me. And so there's a connection there when we reveal those idiot moments, because I suspect that we all are idiots sometimes.
Yes. Yes. Who among us has not had a less than stellar moment? And I totally believe and have proven that it's our foibles that make us fabulous. It is our foibles that make us human. And when I've worked with execs and had them come up with that one story, one, I'll never forget, though I have forgotten the name, the association, but it was in Washington State. And it was the dinner that night before where I'm the keynote speaker and that's some of the executives and started talking about the IMOs. And this executive started talking about the time that he and his friend had received a shotgun for Christmas. And so they went out in the woods and there was a river and there was a barge over across the river. And so one of them, he did not say who, took a pot shot at the rope that was tying the barge to the dock, just one. And they hit it. And that barge started going down the river. And it was amazing. I said, do you ever tell that story? He said, absolutely not. Well, the next morning, he told that story. And it didn't even particularly have a punchline. But the crowd erupted. They loved it. And they had never seen that side of the CEO before. So that's just an example of those that are listening to us now. You know something is triggered in their brain. There is some story that has come about, and with a little twisting, turning, tweaking, just a titch, as I like to say, it can become one of your signature and laughable foibles that make people be more endeared to you. It's a thing.
And that kind of idiot moment is not the tell a joke theme that some speakers think, oh, you should start by telling a lawyer's joke.
Absolutely not. Never, ever. Because if it's good, it's all over the internet and it makes you from the get-go look really like an idiot because everybody knows it. There's one right now that I love and getting so many likes. It's a meme and it says queso and it spells the word of Mexican cheese dip. And then it says, Southern translation is K, the word K, and then so followed by a not pleasant discussion or something like that. Queso. You can't believe the hits that thing is getting because it's funny. And that's not what you're going to start a speech with because too many people know it and it's out there.
When is the appropriate time for a business leader to use humor? And can they, and the second part to the question is, can they use something other than the idiot moment for the humor, not popular joke?
Yes and yes, and yes and no. If you have a story or something that is a thread that runs through the corporation or something that's happening, and if you can bring that in a funny way, that can be a great way to start. And then again, sometimes not so much if it's a very serious situation such as the time I was invited to speak at a major corporation. And so the CEO got up and words out of his mouth were, well, the rumors that you've all been hearing are true. And half of this group will not be employed after this meeting. And we'll get into detail. And now here's June Klein to lighten up. True story. Pardon it. I almost threw up. I didn't even know what to do. And so, but nothing would have worked. Nothing would have worked in that situation. You understand that. And I think I did say a non sequitur, like, how about them Braves? And it just, you know, it doesn't work. When you have, you know, a death or something, sometimes, I mean, it is, I'll be truthful with you, George, it is totally risky to use humor. And so I get it and understand why people don't and won't, because it's just too much of the fear factor in there. And that's why I believe your foible has so much more power and forgiveness.
Mm. When you are exposing your foible, your flaw, something that perhaps you still feel embarrassed about, but when you do that, you open up and people see you as a real person. And now maybe they're more willing to listen to what you've got to say.
It's so powerful, and it does. And you keep triggering these great moments with when I was giving a speech, and it was to a union group, and the CEO introduced me and that whole process. And so I get to a point where I have offer other people to share their IMOs, and it was silence. It was nothing, because see, it was too big a threat for them. And I didn't even realize that at the time, that they're not going to raise their hand and tell their IMO with the big guy, the boss right there. So he got up on the stage and told the most crazy foible. And I will go ahead and tell you, he said that he was giving a PowerPoint presentation back in the day when we had the extendable pointers. I mean, this is 100 years old. Kids, I mean, millennials will go, what? But it's this extendable pointer, and he had the habit of collapsing it around his belt buckle, just pushing it in right there on his stomach. We've all done it. We've all done it. And unfortunately, the tip was off, the little rounded tip. Some of y'all remember, some of you are going to have to Google it. Extendable pointer. So he got his pointer hung in his zipper. And I'm just saying that he told that story and it erupted that crowd of union people that were not going to laugh or do anything in support of what this poor goofy speaker, because that's the point. That's why I'm the talking strategist now, because you've got to look at so much, and it still doesn't mean that you won't land with your foot in your mouth or whatever the situation is. But thank goodness, that's a powerful story that I can tell in some groups and I don't. But it was there was a receiving line that came up to tell me how funny I was. And the CEO, they were shaking hands with him and saying things like, now I know you're human. And man, that was a great story. And I can't believe it. It was just, I still get goosebumps over it. When I get my goosebumps, I call those angel hugs. Mm. And I'm just, they're all pimpled up, because it's so powerful to witness what happened right there that day.
Mm. And I can see the IMO in a leadership type presentation. How about humor in a sales presentation? What do we use there? Because we can't be, can we tell a story about how we screwed up? Is that what we want the customer to hear?
Absolutely. There are so many things that you can do. This is a perfect point to introduce my comedic styles. I am so proud of these. I mean, they're 15, 20 years old almost. And you can go to my website, juneklein.com, and look at the comedic styles right there. Your style is either crazy, caring, cerebral, or caustic. And it's on my website, so you don't have to remember that. So the tricky part about what you just asked is, yes, you can come in with some line or sense of humor or something. It is so helpful. If you know or can predict or look in your crystal ball, guesstimate what you think that story is, I mean, that style is of that person. So if they're cerebral, then they're going to be sitting here, you know, arms folded, and it's like, dare me. I mean, I dare you. And you do have to come up with something that maybe has some numbers in it or some data. And I have gone totally blank as to what I always say, but I have a really great one. And when it comes, I will tell you. But if you're dealing with somebody for the first time, I think you should default to having some intelligent humor.
And June, I'm reminded of a time when I was shopping for a suit. And when I shop, I'm a grumpy buyer. You know, I don't want repartee. Just show me what I'm looking for and I want to get out of here. And the salesman figured that out, and he stopped talking, you know, too much. And I tried on some suits and I tried on a jacket and I said, yeah, this will work. Yeah, I like it. Okay. And then he said, how many do you want? And I laughed. I was so busy trying to be not going to play games. I just want a suit and get out of here. But his question caught me off guard and I laughed and I bought two.
Now, see, isn't that hysterical? Do you use that story? That's my favorite line.
Not often, actually. I have used it, but not often because I just remembered it again now.
Well, and so that's my point. Yes. And when you remember them, write them down so that you can retain them. I don't even retain water anymore. That's not TMI. That's more information than you wanted. But you need to write them down so that you can retain them. And you can write it out is another thing to do, so that when you write it out, you can look at the wording. And I am extremely, I'm just going to say, I am damn good at word crunching, using alliteration, pulling back to the beginning of the sentence. I mean, there's all kind of magic that is, it's really just the intelligence of understanding humor and laughter. Comedians do it all the time. Find your favorite comedian and start studying, but also dissecting their punchlines. So when you write it out, and George, when this will be your homework assignment, when you write it out, then we can look at it and do two things. Number one, always less words is more. And you may have heard of the Seinfeld quote where sometimes he will take 6 to 8 hours to find the right word. And it really can take that long. So you can start to massage that little story you just told and then look at the points that it could lead to in any of your opening. You know, I'm reminded of the time that I went in to buy a suit, and I was so serious and I was going to stay all buttoned up in that suit. And then at the perfect moment with the perfect timing, the salesman said, so how many do you want? And that's what I'm here to talk to you about today. How many do you want? Blah, 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 blah. Or you would pick another part of what you've just said to set up where you're going. Did that make sense?
Yeah. And what I noticed, June, what you did there is one is the idiot moment. The story makes us laugh. And then you transition from the story to the point of the talk.
Exactly. Because, George, you're not trying to stand up there and be a stand-up comedian, are you?
No.
See, I've already figured out you're in the cerebral box. So when you go and take this quiz, you'll be able to see the words that you check off will have you squarely, I bet. Let me know if I'm wrong, in the cerebral box. So back to one of your questions earlier, when you see the box, then you will know that anything that is diagonally across. So for instance, get a picture in your mind of a box, which is crazy, caring, cerebral, and caustic. So if those are looking like this, probably should have had a, I could probably provide one of those for you. But the point is, the more diagonally across you are, the bigger the possibility of misunderstanding and the humor blowing up instead of helping. there's a lot to this, and that's why I've done this my whole life. But for the last 33 years, I have studied and understood and created the humor quiz so that people can understand. I love your title of the intention of the message. People have no idea how they turn somebody off just by thinking they made it funny. And to that person who is probably diagonal in the box, it's not funny. So if you're in a caring mode, caring comedic style, and the caustic is diagonal, and you're trying to make a caring joke about your family, the caustic thinks you're an idiot. It's a waste of time. It's a waste of money. It's like, what are you doing? That's stupid. And the same with the crazy. You were talking about coming into a sales. I am sad that I don't have my, I usually have them right on my desk here, these oversized Groucho Marx glasses. And so I would go into a sales call back in the day when I was in student financial aid and I called on 191 campuses. I would figure out which kind of person, I didn't even realize I was doing this at the time. As a matter of fact, it's where and how the comedic styles were born. Because I would go in one with my oversized Groucho Marx glasses on, and they did not think it was funny. They did not do business with me because I was a crazy and I was dealing with a cerebral, and it turned them off. They thought I wasn't taking myself seriously. So again, you come in with something that is strategically funny so that you can break the ice with them as well. And I'm embarrassed. I cannot come up with my one line that is supposed to be funny for cerebrals. Where do I have that?
And June, so what I'm hearing there is not everyone's going to think our story was funny.
100%.
And how do we deal with that?
Well, for the most part, it's that the outliers, the 2%, that won't, and that's always going to be. So if you know your group, or again, can guesstimate your group, then you're probably going to hit on the majority, maybe the 80-20 rule. And as long as you get 50% going, then they have a tendency to drag the others with them, whether they're laughing out loud or not. And not everybody does laugh out loud. Well, this is it. Is when I'm on stage, I show people, and this is how cerebrals laugh. Did you see it? And if it's really funny, you get two in quick succession. And that's it. So they're too erudite for us. And do you know what that means? And if you don't, you ain't one. And that's, thank you. I finally did come up with the way I explain cerebrals. And they laugh. Because they know it's true. They know it's them. So
what I noticed you did there with to attract or get the cerebrals to laugh, and the cerebrals are ones who are thinking, do more thinking, or at least believe they do more thinking. And therefore, they probably think that they're smarter than the average person. And so when you use a word like erudite, and they know what it means, but most people don't. So you just played to their ego.
Exactly. That's what it is. And my goosebumps have goosebumps again. So one of the things I would encourage your people to do, this is perfect. I'm glad I thought of it. When you go to JuneKline.com and you go to watch June Now is the red bar on there, then you can click on that and you will see my time on a TEDx stage. So I was the experiential speaker for a TEDx event. And what got me to that stage was the innovation, the uniqueness of what I was doing with the comedic styles. So you'll get the full explanation right there. And you'll see me saying cerebrals, and you know, they reluctantly raise their hand. And then I go into the little thing and they love it. And so what I also want to say, George, is this is so powerful. People is something that people don't get and don't study or haven't gone as deep a dive as I have into it. And it's powerful. You have to know your intended message around humor has to be charming, not harming, helping, not hurting. And so often, especially on the left side of the quadrants, which are the cerebral and the caustic, their humor is typically pointed out. It's just the way they default. And they don't even know that they've offended a crazy or caring style. They just know that they're being avoided now, or somebody's not, you know, they change jobs, or, I mean, it's crazy how much humor or the lack thereof can cost a company just by replacing an employee because of attitude and not understanding the comedic style and the corporate culture.
Mm. And June, for people who want to see that video, and also they can find you at the site, junekline.com, and they can also find that quiz there?
It's right on the front page, and they can click on it right there. It'll take them directly to the quiz, and they'll get the answers. They'll determine their style. They'll get an email that will determine their style, tell them what it is, and then four little videos of me explaining just a little bit more about it.
Mm, terrific. And you can find that link in the description below. That's at junekline.com. June, as we prepare to wrap up, if you could sit down with a business leader, a team leader who is struggling to get the team feeling, the team working together, perhaps there's been a change of personnel or there's some change and there's a struggle here. What one, two, or three pieces of advice might you give them so that they can include some humor in their discussions and conversations?
Well, geez, in 30 seconds or less, right? Okay. I'm going to go back to, well, two things, the ROI of LOL, the return on investment of laughing out loud. And what they're going to do is go back to that ape process, which is to heighten their awareness that it's important to give themselves permission to play and to expose their idiot moment. And then the third is to have fun. It has to be a surprise. They didn't see it coming. And so those are the three elements. But the main thing I would say is call me, have me come in. We can work on this. But also, I'm working on some really cool stuff online that I think is going to be helpful to some executives and CEOs around the ROI of LOL and understanding the power of being the talking strategist and how to stand out talking. It's very powerful, and people need to understand the power of humor. I do work with TED groups, as you mentioned, and I always, always make sure that there's a punchline in there somewhere.
Mm. My guest today is June Klein, reminding you that it's our foibles that make us fabulous and human.
If you like what you heard, tell your friends and post your 5-star review on Apple Podcasts, because that helps more listeners find us. Come back every week for more practical insights to help you deliver your intended message. I'm your host, George Torok.